Okay, we're going to be in Habakkuk, which I said that I found out I said that three different ways last Sunday, so that's the only time I'm going to say it. Chapter 2. Good morning. Can't say Happy New Year, but Happy New Year. I'm going to read just part of this scripture, and we're going to skip through some of it, then I'm going to teach on it. Last week I taught on vision. I want to give you a short kind of a little bit of bullet points on what vision is. So I want us to get an idea of what that is. So a lot of us would think, I don't have a vision for my life. I don't have a vision for me. I don't have a vision for my finances. I don't have a vision for my health. I don't have a vision for my household. I don't have a vision for my day. And I'm here to tell you, if you're thinking that, just internally, if you're thinking that, just internally raise your hand. Don't raise your hand out here. Internally, you have to decide, do I think I have a vision or do I not have a vision? So most of us, half of us probably or more, would say, I don't have a vision for my finances. I don't have a vision for my health. But I'm here to tell you today, you do have a vision for your finances. You do have a vision for your health. You do have a vision for your future. It might not be a good vision. It might not be a godly vision, but you have a vision. You might have a vision as you're coming into this year that I'll be as poor at the end of this year as I was last year. Or I'll make it from week to week this year in 2014 like I did last year. That's a vision for your future. That's a vision for your finances. You might have a vision I'll be stuck doing the exact same thing in my job in 2014 as I was in 2013, 2012, 2011. That's a vision. You might say, I'm going to struggle with depression or addiction exactly the same this year as I did last year. That's a vision for your future. That's something that you're looking forward and you're saying, that's how my life is going to be. That's all a vision is. A vision is seeing yourself, a good vision is seeing yourself in a preferred future, in an ideal place of where you want to be. So if you stop right now and you say, and you look at yourself physically, and we talked about this last week with me, so I want to learn lose 39 pounds. So to go from two, I hate to say how much I weigh with David Reed here, because he's like a foot taller than me, and I'm really close to his weight, and it just irritates me. And he doesn't like give me any slack with it, so I need to lose 29 pounds. Did I say 29 or 39? It's 39. That's right. Darn. See, it's like, ugh. How could I be 224 and a little bit more pounds? So I have a vision. If you look at yourself, you do have a vision this year of what you're going to look like at the end of this year. And you might just say, I'm going to continue to be sick. I'm going to continue to be tired. I'm going to continue to be overweight. I'm going to continue to lack energy. I'm going to continue with this. That's a vision of yourself. A good vision, a godly vision, is a looking forward and having a preferred future or an ideal concept of what you look like. And as Christians, we believe that we line that picture up with the picture that God has of us as healthy in our body, as healthy in our mind, as good stewards of an abundance of finances, as good stewards of abundance of time to do here on this earth in this year everything that we need to do. Not everything that we want to do, not everything that we seems like is crucial to do, but everything that God has given me, I can get done in 6 days of my week and rest on the seventh. That's his preferred vision for us. That's his ideal concept for us. Okay, so we all have this vision. We all have a picture. It could be good or it could be bad. It could be godly or it could be something that's been wounded in you that has this drive for you to have, I can't have more than I have now. I can't be a better husband. I can't be a better daughter. I can't be a better son. And so we have this. Each one of us have this. Every person that struggles with an addiction in here, whether it's a drug addiction or it's a TV addiction or it's a Facebook addiction or it's just an addiction to distraction that you're always going from drama to drama in your life, you're always going from crisis to crisis is an addiction. You're addicted to that. Every person that's addicted has a negative vision for themselves this year. Everybody, everyone, not just in this church, but everyone has a negative vision if you're addicted. And I mean addiction to poverty. I mean an addiction to drugs. I mean addiction to pornography. I mean addiction to overworking. Everyone has a wrong vision. Right vision is godly vision. I'm energetic. I'm passionate. I'm lovely. I'm adorable. I'm powerful in my own soul. I'm beautiful to my Father, so therefore I'm beautiful, and I want to walk in that. And all of those things that we've talked about in Positive ID in November. So you have to decide. You can't say, well, I don't have any vision, because we hear that a lot. I don't have any vision. I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talents. There's not anything for me to do. But we do have vision, and we have to decide and be honest with ourselves, good or bad. And that's where we find the prophet and his complaint. He starts out, God talks to him about vision because of a complaint of what his world looks like and what his life looks like and what his job looks like in speaking to the people of Israel. It starts out with a complaint. But a lot of us want to hide and say life is good, all just generally across the board, when there's painful areas in that life that don't feel good, okay? And so we have to be honest with God before we're ever honest with others or with ourselves. And there's a phrase that says everybody's lying to you. When you write a little book and people look at it, and you show it to your mom, and your mom says, best thing ever. I wrote a prayer book that's written in the back here. My mom edited it for me the third time around because she hated seeing my mistakes. She wrote, best book on prayer ever. You think that's true? In your face, Murray. C.S. Lewis, come on. I mean, think about that. So everybody's willing to tell you partial truth and to lie a little bit, and those can be damaging, but we can realize those. But the biggest lie we can tell ourselves is the one we tell ourselves. I can't do this. I don't have a vision. I don't have a talent. I don't have a good future. I can't do this. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Anything God has asked you to do this year, he's given you everything you need to do this year. Anything he's asked you to do this week or this month, he's given you everything you need to have. That means the time, that means the energy, that means the finances, that means the skill and ability. And now what he wants you to do at the end of 2014, coming into 2015, what he wants you to do generally in your life, that's where vision comes down. And when we can clarify our vision, then we can set proper goals based on what God's done and is doing inside of us. Then we set proper goals. I want to paint a picture, I want to be this, I want to be that, and then we can start working on our weekly habits and our daily habits. And a lot of times we just want to change our habits. I just want to lose weight. Instead of, I want God to talk to me about why I overeat, why I eat after 10 o'clock at night, why I eat in bed reading, why I eat anytime I'm watching TV, no matter what time it is. All right? So to let God heal those things and get a vision birthed inside of me, a good vision, a godly vision of health, a good vision of godly vision of me. So we all have vision. And I'm going to ask Craig. Craig and Caroline are pregnant. Craig, wave your hand in case people don't know you. So now, do you think he has a vision for his kid, right? They have a vision for it. They say, well, I don't know because we've never had a kid. But are you going to have a boy or a girl?
Boy.
A boy. Do you have a name picked out?
Well, I did. Caroline. Okay.
That's great. I had a name, but somebody else decided differently. Good. Okay. So, do you want the boy to play football?
Yes.
Do you know where you want the boy to play football at? What college?
No.
Yeah, you do, right? Do you want your boy to be healthy or do you want him to be sickly?
No.
Do you want him to be popular or unpopular?
Very popular.
Good looking or ugly?
Incredibly.
Doing a job as he gets older that he really loves or one that he hates is just a drudge. So you already have a vision. Craig already has a vision for his kid. And it doesn't matter. The playing football might not matter, but the healthy, the happy, the whole. And we all have that. We don't look in the future and go, well, I hope my life is just as bad this year as it was last year. But our vision tells us that, doesn't it? Our vision is it probably will be. And if we just work on the superficial things, we'll never get down to the deeper things. And so part of the process that we're going to go through for this, from Bark to Blues is hitting vision, clarifying vision, really working hard the first Tuesday, the second Tuesday, really working hard on goals, and then habits on the third, kind of interweaving all of them, and you'll read the story and be able to work through some of that later on. Well, that's an important thing to have. Now, we know from last week that out of this scripture, that God asked us to write the vision, to clarify the vision, to declare the vision, and to actively wait upon the vision. Whenever it talks about to wait in the Bible, it almost never means to sit around with your hands in a chair like this and not do a thing and just declare God's going to do something, because he probably won't. God asks us to engage with him in our healing. God asked the blind man to open his eyes, the deaf man to hear something, and the lame man to get up and walk. How cruel is that, to have a crippled man to say, get up and walk, after a sentence of prayer? But God wants us to engage in vision. And we read in the scripture that the vision that we look to heaven for, it's also looking to heaven, but finding out what's inside of us. God doesn't just give us a vision typically like he did Paul on the road to Damascus. He doesn't give us a vision like he did to Joseph that sustained him for his life and allowed him to rule and reign well in Egypt even as he was a slave. God typically gives us vision that we partner with him and we agree with him that this is what you've created me to do, and I'll walk in that way and I'll do that thing, okay? So there's work involved on our part in the waiting, in the finding out, in the writing, in the clarifying, in the declaring. Because as we declare our vision, we realize maybe how hard 39 pounds might be. And we start remembering how much weight we've lost and how quickly we gained it back. And we remember that we're 51 years old and only 5'8" and don't like physical activity. And then everything begins to work against us that what I thought I saw that I wanted, I no longer want. So we have to like find a space in there, a place within us that says, yeah, this is really what I want. And I'm going to work in faith based on what God's showing my future is going to look like. So I'll begin today right now in that direction. So we know those things, what our part of the vision is. But this morning I want to talk about just a few things of what vision does for us. Because vision, even as we work for vision, even as we write and clarify and declare and wait on vision actively, vision begins to do something in us. Vision begins to work in us and change us. It protects us. It builds us. Vision even warns you of what you should and shouldn't do in your life. Vision warns you what job you should take and what friends you should have. Vision protects you from making wrong choices. And we're going to talk not about all of those things, but if you read through the scripture, which we're not going to do, you'll see in this second chapter, you'll see a bunch of woe to's. Woe to this, woe to that, woe to this, about every other verse. And so you can go and you can read through that later. And what vision does, vision keeps you away from addiction. It keeps you away from laziness. It brings you into being a good steward. It keeps you away from chasing after stuff that we see down later on in the chapter. It keeps us from worshiping idols. So vision does a lot of things for us. So if you're struggling with your time management, you're struggling with getting a job or keeping a job or having a job that you like, then there's probably a vision problem. There's probably a vision problem. If you're struggling with having friends, if you're struggling with what your day looks like, if you're struggling with energy or excitement or enthusiasm about anything that you used to be excited about and you still want to be excited about, there's probably a vision problem. It's probably not a depression problem. It's probably not a money problem. It's not that you're dumb. It might not be because you're lazy, although you might be. It's because of a vision problem. So vision begins to work and do something in us. So when we talk about, probably I'm going to have time to talk about three of them today, but I want you to pick one of the three or four that we talk about. Or maybe you just heard me talk about like it protects or it does something to you or it warns you. Maybe that's already, the vision is warning me I shouldn't take that job. I actually got a phone call this last week to take a job with a Chaplains of America type group. I had interviewed with them before when I first started the journey, and I thought the journey might not work out and I might need some money. And so this guy called me back again this week, but vision says I don't take the job. I don't even entertain the job. So vision says I don't even take, I got asked to be put on a ministry board a couple weeks ago, and vision says I don't do that because it doesn't fit. It's a good ministry, but it doesn't fit what I do. And I realized this a couple years ago when at the end of 1 year, Jim and I were talking. And I was on a board of a private school, and I didn't really want to be on the board, but I was on it, and so I realized, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't offer them anything. They're not wanting anything that I would actually offer of who I am except a name and a background and some credentials and for accreditation. So like January 3rd, 2 years ago, I got off that board. Because it doesn't, it protects me, it guides me. It tells me what to do with my time. It tells me what to do with my money. It tells me what to do and what friends to have and not to have. Who to spend time with and who not to spend time with. So vision does those things for me. But it's a vision for my life. It's not a vision for somebody else. So a couple qualifiers for vision is it's seeing a good preferred picture of you, a positive, godly thing. It's revelatory. It's revelatory. A vision might be a surprise for a moment, then, of course, that's not a surprise. That's always what I've wanted to be. That's it. That's what I want to do. If I was going to be in ministry, that's the kind of ministry I'd want to be in. If I was going to help a group of people, yes, that's exactly who I'd want to help. So but it's a revelation of who you are. Vision is also hope expressed. Get this. Vision is hope expressed in a mental language. Vision is a writing down of something deep within you that you hope is true that you can give to the world. Vision is the heart expressed in writing. That's why the importance of write it out, clarify it, talk about it. And as you talk about it, you realize that it might be difficult. It might be a little bit off as you've added yourself to it. And people around you can help you really refine that and clarify it. So as you wait on it, you wait appropriately on it. And vision, Scripture tells us, if you don't have vision, you will perish. In Proverbs, remember, when people without a vision will perish. They will disappear. Your true self, the self you want to be without vision, will vanish. And you'll grow up and you'll be a grumpy 50-year-old man. You'll be a grumpy 60-year-old person that can't stand the generation below you, that longs for the good old days. Vision keeps us young, right? Right, old people? Everybody over 50 say amen.
Amen.
All of us over 50 want to be bright, cheerful, attractive, winning, moving forward sort of people, don't we? Well, I do. Thank you. One person that said yay. We do, but we preach to the team, have vision, you know, get out of college, do this. But we're called to have vision. We're called to have clarity of eyes, strength of our step, and be strong in spirit. And for us to have vision at every season of our life, it might take a new revelation. All your kids are gone, new revelation. New job, new revelation. Realize you're stuck and you can't make any more money, but you feel God wants you to make more money, new revelation. Something, you're graduating from high school, you're going to need a vision of where you're going to go to college or what you want to do. Graduating from college, you're going to get a wake-up of your vision when you go look for a job and realize how hard the job is and maybe how little money it makes. But it's vision. It's vision promotes us. Vision pushes us forward. And without it, you can't be who you want to be. Without a vision, you can't be who you want to be. Everybody in here that's struggling with boredom, the struggling with criticism of how church is done or how politics are done or how people do things, you're struggling with a vision for your own self and how you look. Because the key thing for a vision is you can't hope, you can't have a vision for your kid to be something in the wrong way. Because they get to make all their own choices after a certain age, and it comes earlier than 18 or 21. Your vision can't be, well, I have a vision that my husband's a better man of God. Meh. Wrong vision, can't have it. Vision comes for you. I want to be the best wife. I want to be the best husband. Not I hope my kids are better. Those rotten rascals. Oh, I can't believe their rebellion. The vision comes for, you know what? I want to be the man or the woman or the parent that is gracious and kind and loving. Discipline in the way you want, all of those things. But I want to be that man. I want to be that person. Not I hope my kid is that person. I have a vision for them. Then I'm always disappointed when I'm putting my vision on somebody else because then I'm out of control all the time over my own happiness and who I am. Because we want to be blessed. Blessing, one of the key words for blessing is to the happiness of the Lord upon us. And when I'm always looking for somebody else to be the right one, to do the right thing, I'll always be disappointed and unhappy. So vision does something to us. If tomorrow you made a commitment, and maybe you're not active at all, and you made a commitment 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, I'm going to wake up every morning, I'm going to have my running shoes by my bed or my walking shoes by my bed, and I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to get in those walking clothes, and I'm going to walk for 30 minutes every day for the rest of this year. Your entire life would change. It would do something for you. As you submit and commit to proper process, to proper goals, it does something to you. You'll probably lose weight. You'll be more limber. You'll have more air when you breathe. You won't get tired chasing after your grandchildren. You won't get tired going on a walk when you're out. It does something for you. It does something to you. Research shows that if you change one thing, one habit, you change one habit, you make one bad habit into one good habit, other habits are easier to follow. So your second habit is a lot easier to switch, and your third habit even easier, because ordering one part of your day changes everything. Ordering your morning changes everything. And Scripture speaks to some of that. So what does vision do for you or to you? The first slide is vision guides us. Vision guides us. And we've already talked a little bit about how it guides us, but vision will guide you to a better place. It'll guide you to a place that's more fit for you. Vision will guide you as you begin to get a vision of who you are. Not necessarily what you do, but that might be part of it, but who you are, how you operate. As you get that vision, you will find the job that suits you more. You will find the ministry that is more like you. You will be able to transfer into different places in your life that you'll prosper more as you know yourself more and you're guided by that vision. Vision, so if I have a vision of being out of debt, that vision will guide me then what to do with my money. I'll get a cheaper car. I'll sell my car that I have payments on, and I'll get a $4,000 car. I'll get a $2,000 car. I'll have one car. I'll cut my cable bill. I'll do away with my cable bill. I don't have to have my cable bill. You know, for work, I don't need my internet. There's $150 right there for the average American. You know what? I won't buy the next smartphone. I'll wait a year. I'll wait 2 years. You know what? I'll diminish my plan a lot. There's $50 a month, $50 a week right there. Because vision begins to guide you what you want to do. But most of us have a vision that I'll continue to struggle and continue not to have enough money. And the vision fulfills itself. It becomes true. Because we don't want to do some hard work and be guided by vision. And I think that's the number one reason why we don't like to write down vision. And we don't like to declare vision. I'm going to be out of debt by the end of this year. I'm going to save more money than I've ever saved in my life this year. I'm going to give more money than I've ever given this year. And we write it down and we have vision and we begin to, part of clarification is putting dates and numbers and pounds and minutes and days you want to walk, vacations you want to take, where you want to travel to, who you want to have meals with. It begins to guide you of what you do and don't do. And the clarification is a great guide. And vision gives a proper, healthy outlet for dissatisfaction. This is the most annoying thing you can do to somebody who's complaining, is to say, what would you like it to look like? Because it's in their power to make it look like they want it to look like. But you got to believe that you're powerful. You have to believe that you are in charge of your soul. That not only you're in charge of your soul, but as a Christian, then you give yourself over to the one who bought your soul. And then he begins to share vision with you. And he begins to guide you. And it comes together. And we can say that God guides us and that's it. But then it doesn't put it in a language that we can always understand. God wants us to give ourselves over to him. He gives back to us. He begins to guide us. Vision gives a proper, healthy, good, positive looking forward outlet to unhappiness and dissatisfaction. So today, you're sitting here, and hopefully last week you thought about one or two things that you're dissatisfied with. And I hope it's not your a relationship, although you might be, but when you have a vision for that relationship, and the vision's about you, how you will operate, how you will be, how you will listen to God, that will begin to guide you in what you do. It's true of your weight, it's true of your job, it's true of everything that we have. Vision guides us to what we really want. Vision guides us to what will really truly satisfy us. Vision guides us to what is really God's plan for us. And what vision helps you, and you'll see this in the end of chapter 2, in chapter 2, is vision guides us away from all the silly things of stuff, of buying more, of having more, of attaining things, of getting better wine and better grain or better housing or better cars. There's nothing wrong with better and more. We might have a vision. I don't have a car. I want a car. There's nothing wrong with that. You might have a car and you want another car. There's nothing wrong with that. But what vision does, vision begins to put it in proper boundaries and guidelines of I do want a better car, but I want to be debt-free first. I do want a car, but I need to kick this habit, so I need to go away for a time. It guides us to where we're going to go, what we're going to do, who we're going to be around. The second thing vision does, it protects us. If you have a vision of yourself, for yourself, as a faithful, godly, moral, kind Christian man, it's less likely that you'll fall into adultery. If you have a vision that you're a dog, you're a hound, you can't help it, it's just the way that you are, you struggle with it, then adultery is wide open for you. You have a vision of yourself, and that might sound weird that we would have a vision of ourselves as that, but that's in us as men sometimes to struggle with that. Not just with like the generic or the general lust, but this deep unsettling thing that we have to go out and do something that we don't want to do because that's just who we are. All right? So if you have a vision of yourself as a godly, kind, good, non-gossiping, encouraging woman, it's less likely that you'll be a nag. It's less likely that you'll be a gossip. It's less likely that you'll incite jealousy. It's less likely that you'll people will get a sense of condemnation and judgment when you're around them. If you have a vision of yourself as that, if you have your vision of yourself and you're the know-it-all, tell-it-all woman, and you're the woman of God who knows everything that should tell everybody, that man, blah. That's a vision of yourself that nobody wants to be around. So when we have a vision, what it does, it protects who we are. And vision also protects family. Part of my vision testimony, if you will, is in my finances. I'm 40 years old. Well, I'm 51 now. 40 years old. I don't own a home. I own a part of a home, but it's in my in-law's name. It's in my in-law's neighborhood. I don't have life insurance. I don't care to have life insurance. I don't know what I make as salary. It's not very much at that time, and I don't really know exactly what I make now because my wife's an enrolled agent for taxes, so she signs. I sign, and that's good enough for me. I'm not interested in that, but. So I had a vision that I would never have saved money. I didn't have a vision for a house. I didn't have a vision for taking care of my family if I passed away. I had a young son at that time, a 10-year-old, I think, a 10 or 12-year-old, and now we have a 7-year-old. And so in a conversation with a guy at a church called Abundant Life, he kind of like reached across the table and smacked me. And his words were, you're dishonoring your family. Because if you pass away, then your wife is alone, and she's not. How's she going to take care of a kid? Because you're half the income. And so it like helped me. And what I did, I had a vision of me as a guy being on the beach, not caring that much about money, not caring about the future, not thinking about if I got sick, not caring if I died, not worried about it, not fearful about it, not thinking about it, not considering my family about it. That was my. I was laid back in that way. And so at that point on, I didn't go try to make more money. I didn't go try to do anything except for talk to God about it and begin to find the vision, to write the vision, to clarify the vision. That if I'm going to stay in ministry, then I have to like start thinking differently about my life and about who I am. And so what it did, it began to protect me, and it's protected my family now over the years. And the journey's been generous in that protection of my family. But without a vision, a lot of us guys would just go and spend all of our money. We would risk all of our money on lots of different things, not just horses and gambling, but on businesses and cars we shouldn't drive and another house and things like that. And for me and Cretia, she's been the balancer in that. And so it's protected me and as I protect my family. Vision protects us. Vision protects us not just from the things like adultery or bankruptcy, but it protects us from indulging in things that are bad for us, that are damaging to us, that could be addiction, that could be 4 or 5 hours of TV every day, or media every day. I think the average is 5 hours every day, 7 days a week for Americans. It might be a little bit more. And I'm not sure because it always shifts, but it's like 5 to 7 hours for every one of us are either on TV, listening to radio, listening to music on our headphones, listening to something or watching something or interacting on Facebook with something. That's a whole work week. So what it does is I begin to have a vision for what I want to produce, who I want to be, the people I want to be around. It protects me from engaging wrongly or self-indulgently in those things. And then saying, well, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the energy. I just don't know enough about that. So what it does, it protects my time so I can spend my time on taking coaching classes, so I can spend my time on going to the gym, so I can spend my time on thinking about my future and being with the people that are good and healthy for me. So what it does, it protects us. It protects our vision. It protects who we are. A person with vision is protected from wrong motives and wrong desires that maybe have set there for a long time. And as we have vision of, I'm a godly man, I'm a godly woman, I'm a kind, strong man, I'm a sensitive but powerful woman. As we have vision for that, that vision begins to do something in us, begins to change us. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Vision protects your time, your talent, and your resources. Your time, your talent, and your resources. It protects your day, your week, your month, your year. It protects your finances. It protects your money that you're getting from your job. It protects your money that you've saved. It protects your house, and it protects your car. Vision for those things protect that. So I have a vision that when I'm on the road, when my wife and I are on the road, we won't break down. We will do everything. We don't have a flat tire. So every 3 months, I take my car in for an oil. Not every 3 months anymore. Every 3 to 4 months, car oil change for both of them. Tires checked and rebalanced. And maintenance done on both my cars. Because I have a vision. I have a vision that if a police officer sees me and pulls me over, I'll have insurance in the glove box. I'll have a registration. And I'll have the inspection sticker done. There's lots of people that don't have a vision for that. And they're pulled over. And it starts a crisis. Their car breaks down. And a lot of the vision comes not just from they don't have a vision for that, but they don't have a vision for their money. They haven't been able to protect their lives, their talents, their job, their career, because things keep happening to them that are based on the negative vision that they have for themselves. So you see how that example with the car, it's vision, so I automatically do those things. I've created habits that I do those things every 3 or 4 months. I always pay for my registration. I always pay for my insurance. It's just part of doing business for me. It's a habit that's created based on a goal that I have not to get arrested, not to get pulled over, not to break down, on a vision that I'll protect my family and I'll protect my time in Houston, which is big and you don't want to break down. So those things all come together and what it's going to do to protect us. And those are all superficial things. The car, the house, the finances. But it protects the vision that's in me. It protects the God stuff in me. It protects the talent in me. It protects the spiritual gifting in me. It protects those things. In Proverbs, it says that guard your heart, for out of it flows all the good things of life. Guard your heart, for out of it flows all the good things of life. Vision protects my heart. Vision protects my heart. You know what? Your grumpiness doesn't protect your heart. It hurts your heart. Your defenses, your management of your pain, you're never confessing your sin, you're judging everybody and being angry or being depressed to keep people away. That doesn't protect your heart. That hurts your heart. What protects your heart is a vision of who you are in Christ and how you are and how much His favor looks down upon you. So it's Proverbs. I didn't write down the scripture. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the best things of life. Vision protects the best of who you are. It protects the best of who you are. Vision protects the mom that you need to be, the dad that you need to be, that you want to be, that you hope you are. Vision protects the spouse that you want to be, the husband you want to be, the wife that you are. Vision protects those things. Vision protects the very best things about us. And the examples that are easier, that are more attractive, is vision protects money, vision protects things like that, which it does. But there's always a deeper thing that we have going on there. And vision will protect you and who you are in your heart. Something else that vision does is vision builds. I just noticed I have a whole page of notes gone. Well, hallelujah. You guys are going to be out of here 1 point earlier. Good for you. That's weird. So this third one and last one, vision allows us to carefully place each stone of our house together. Vision allows us to build line upon line, precept upon precept. Vision allows us to build something that won't accuse us in the future, to build something that is settled, that is right, that'll build something that your family won't say you built it on us, that the people you minister to won't say you built the church on us. It allows us to build something that's really, really cool, that covers us from the storms of life, that is big enough for people to come in and be with us. Vision of who I am builds something big so my family is covered. It builds something with a big foundation. Vision starts foundationally to build. It doesn't build with the successes that we might want or the things we want to do. It begins to build us first. And vision is meant to build us as big people. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. I was Facebooking somebody the other day, and they dropped out of high school, and they know me now. They've known me for a while. And so, you know, I was able to I dropped out of high school. Ninth grade was my last traditional year. It doesn't matter, though, does it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you say I was this, but I'm not. I am a high school dropout, but I'm not a high school dropout. I was an addict, but I'm not an addict. So I might struggle with certain things. So vision begins to build something in me that I'm not what I was. I'm not even what I thought I was. It begins to build a new image of who I am and whose I am and what I can accomplish and what I can be. So vision begins to build something really strong and deep within us. And that's why vision is foundational. Because it builds foundation of who I am and who I want to be. Without vision, your foundation will be weak and small, and you'll build up like this, and it's going to topple over. Without vision, you can grow fast, and you always fall back over. And then you have to start back over. I hate my job, boom! But I got the best job, a year later, I hate my job. We hear that all the time when people dating people, don't we? Oh, he's so godly, he's so wonderful. Oh, he's a jerk. Next, oh, he's wonderful, he's awesome, but he's a jerk. Because we don't have a vision for who we are and who God wants us to partner with. And the thing is, we've got to have this vision or your growth is stunted and your potential is diminished all the time. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know what, I wish I had more influence. I wish I could do this differently. I wish people looked at me as a leader. I wish this. Then think about that. That might be a vision problem. It might be a vision problem of how you're seeing yourself and how well you know yourself or don't know yourself. It might be a vision problem that you're describing yourself and have a vision of yourself that's not true to how God's made you to be. And you're trying to force something on the world that's not ready for you yet or is not truly you, that's an inauthentic, a non-vulnerable you, a non-true you, a non-essential you. Without vision, you'll always be dissatisfied with what you earn, what you do, who you are, what you have. Because what vision allows you to do, so you know exactly if my vision comes to pass for my health this year. We'll have a big scale like Biggest Loser. I'm not taking my shirt off, though. Think about that. You know exactly. So that's why we hate to clarify that. But you know exactly what getting out of debt means. You can say, I want God to bless me. That's easy. That's not a vision. Because there's been no work done on it. So when I say I want to lose X amount of weight, go down to the 185 pounds, we know exactly when I hit 185 pounds. You know exactly when you hit out of debt. You know exactly when you hit a sweet spot in your work and you start going in a certain direction. You can know the day that you're kinder to your spouse than you ever have been before when God switched your heart. You can know that time. See, so it actually gives us winning marks and marks that we can win. So I know if I say, I want a car that's not X amount of years old. I want one that's 5 years old. I want a brand new car. I've personally never owned a brand new car. I don't really want one. That's not my goal. But if it's your goal, then you begin to set that out there. I want a better car. I want a car that doesn't break down so much. I want a car that's like this. If you already like your car, but you've always dreamt of a different car, you put that out there and you know exactly. So there's some satisfaction that comes from setting vision. There's some satisfaction that comes from setting vision. I want to keep my yard mowed really well this year. I want to honor my entire neighborhood by how I mow my yard and take care of my stuff that God's given me. You know if you won or lost. So see, without vision, you don't know if you had a good year. You don't know, did you go on the vacation you want to go on vacation with? Did you eat meals with people that you wanted to eat meals with? Did you minister to the group of people that you wanted to minister to? Did you get the certification that you wanted that would help you in your job. You don't know. So what vision does? Vision builds something in us of satisfaction. And they all don't have to be specific. We'll talk more about that in some of our workshop. But vision builds a sense of accomplishment because we're walking into what we hope for. We're walking into it. I hope for this year to have this, and I have it. Thank you, Jesus. That's why on Dave Ramsey's show, his radio show, they scream out, "We are debt-free together as a couple." It's a big monumental, and they always ask him, "When did you decide? When did it start happening?" And some of them, it was like 5 years ago, but only the last 2 years did we really start working on it. Did we really start putting goals? Did we really start getting to work? I lost weight. It might be I didn't swear this month. That's David's New Year's resolution, and if he can go a whole month... You thought you were going to get through this whole thing without me saying anything. I've never heard David swear on purpose. No, I'm kidding. It's a bad joke. I'm sorry. The person without vision constantly runs out of energy. Constantly runs out of energy. Constantly runs out of hope for the future. Always needing something to spark them. Always needing something. They run out of energy, and they run out of materials with which to build their life and their future. Because they lack the foundation. Clarifying the vision and this building type thing, clarifying the vision forces us to count the cost before pursuing what we want. So clarifying the vision, I want to save this much money. I want to start this ministry. I want to lose this weight. I want to change my mindset. I don't want to be angry anymore. Then you begin to build upon that. It builds you to make a commitment. I don't want to live in anger anymore, even unexpressed anger that's deep inside of me that nobody else would say I'm an angry person. I see it. I feel it. I want healing in that area. I'm going to begin to write down, what does it look like for me not to be angry? What does it feel like for me not to just be fiercely mad at my job? At my kids? What does it mean for me not to protect myself with anger? What does that mean? And clarify it. And then you start telling a few people. And then you wait. And you wait. And the waiting is you seek counsel. You seek prayer. You seek books on it. You seek understanding. You seek inner healing. You see how it works? So it begins to build something in us. But if you just say, "Well, I wish I wasn't mad anymore. I don't know why I get mad." Sure, you do. You know why. You might have never expressed it, never found it, but you're the only one who probably knows why. So this vision of a new me, it's like a powerful thing. I think we all want that. I want a new me every year. Even though I am lovely, I'd like to be lovelier this year. I really would. You know? And so I'm tired of being less awesome. So, sorry about that. So what I want to do is... I want to pray for vision as we end here, and I'll continue some of this next week. I was going to talk about one word next week. It's interesting that about four of you have already just mentioned it last year, putting the resources in the bulletin about one word. Now, we're going to talk about goals and vision and goals and some habits, but it God can give you one word to just encompass what this year is going to look like for you. And don't think that one word is easier than actually working through your goals, because one word will permeate throughout all that you do. So get on some of that information, and if you haven't, take the Strength Finders test. It's $10 online, and we're not going to do that a lot through this workshop, but it'll help you begin to know you more and maybe help build some vision in you. But vision, it's got to be properly grounded in God. It's got to probably be grounded in Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And it's got to be properly who you are and who you were created to be. So what I want to do, I just want to take a moment. So just bow your heads. At the very end of this chapter, it says God's on his throne. And so we just want to start with that. So Father, we just say that you are right here. Your Holy Spirit is present. Your Holy Spirit is speaking right now to every ear, to every heart, right now. And you're not speaking bad things, negative things. You're not speaking of the past even. You're speaking right now a vision of a picture that they have of themselves that you want to change. That they have their a picture that they have of their future that you want to change. A picture. There's even people here that are having reasons why they can't pursue vision. A reason why of their past failures, their past mistakes. And the Holy Spirit is saying right now this morning that those are lies. Those are lies from the enemy, and to don't buy them. So listen this morning to the Holy Spirit, because he wants to describe you. He wants to define you. He wants to give you vision and hope. He wants to build in you. He wants to protect your life and your heart this morning. And vision does that for us, but even as we're talking about vision protects, it's the vision. It's a vision that there's a God right there with us, that has his Spirit here with us, a Father that gave his Son on the cross so that we could come and be at peace with that God, and that God would then walk with us and talk with us and be with us and grow us and mature us and heal us. So this morning, even as you're, just take a moment and say, God, what's your vision for me? Is there one word? Is there one area that you want to really, really grow me up in? One area you really want to bless me in where I've been damaged, where I've been hurt? God, show us this morning where we have wrong vision, where we have vision that opposes what you're saying to us. So just as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just if there's any of you in here today that just don't know if vision is possible, and don't know, maybe you know God, but he's been harsh. You feel like he's been harsh. I just want to encourage you that he's not harsh. He's good. He's kind. And maybe you've got some thoughts that oppose vision and oppose just being able to have a life of abundance. I just want to remind you that Scripture says he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. And that life more abundantly means more and more and more and more. So if you haven't committed your lives to Christ this morning, just want you to be able to talk to me or Jim, who you saw up here, or almost anybody around you, to just lead you in a prayer to connect you into the family of God. Father, we thank you for your vision for us. We thank you that when you look upon us, that you are super happy about us, that you're rooting for us, that you're calling us out, that you're wooing us towards you all the time, that you are personal to us as a church and to us as individuals, and we thank you for that. So, Father, just this morning, I just ask your peace and your blessing upon us. I ask your peace upon our marriages, upon our parenting, upon our finances, upon our homes, upon our jobs, upon our minds and our emotions, upon our hearts and our visions and our dreams. Your blessings upon us. In your Son's name, everybody said, amen. God bless you.